What a journey this has been, right? I think you guys know what journey I'm talking about. What a journey. We started a journey together as a church on March 9th to deliberately and with great intention and detail study the lessons that Jesus gave to us on the Sermon on the Mount. Do you remember that? March 9th, just a few weeks ago. And as we set out together to see what being a disciple of Jesus was all about, right? That was our main goal. We sat out for that reason. What does a disciple of Jesus mean? Well, let's look at Jesus' words, and let's look at the Sermon on the Mount. And you guys came along with me, and for that, I am grateful. Thank you. You came along with us, actually. Thank you. So today, May 4th, I have to say it. May the 4th be with you. Sorry. Today, May 4th, 9 weeks of studying this, we are coming to a conclusion. I know, groans. We're finishing our lesson today in this particular scripture passage, the Sermon on the Mount. We're wrapping her all up. And I look back on the last few weeks, and wow, it has indeed been a great journey. I know for me, it has been an amazing journey to be able to dig into these scriptures and learn exactly what Jesus was talking about, what he wants us to do, and how he wants us to act as a disciple. I'll recap some of the things that we learned in a bit. But we set out on the mission to find out what being a disciple, or as some people say, a dipole. That would be me when I mispronounce disciple. But we set out to see what a disciple and to be a kingdom of heaven person is all about. We used that phrase a lot over the last 9 weeks. We, being Pastor Tasha and I, have tried to set the stage of the audience too, to put us in their place and see what they were hearing. We talked a lot about the culture of the times and what was going on in the world and what was going on in the lives of these people, how society was even set up, to try to get a better understanding of what is really Jesus talking about when we translate these things over and how we can apply it to our lives in 2025. And I can say in summary, through all this, we now know that to be a Kingdom of Heaven person means a complete change of heart and mind. It's a whole different way of living than what the world would want us to live, isn't it? But this is how Jesus wants us to live. And he wants us to choose our actions and how we live and treat one another, him and God, and our own selves wisely by using these beautiful words he's given us over the last 9 weeks in these chapters in Matthew. So he wraps up his teachings. Actually, the Sermon on the Mount, most people think it ended last week with Jesus saying, hey, it boils down to this, do unto others as you would have them do to you, the old golden rule. Pastor Tosh preached on that and wrapped up her sermon last week on that. But Jesus keeps talking to the end of the chapter, and I was like, oh, these are totally pertinent. They may not be his sermon itself and the meat of it, but they're his conclusion. You know how we do an introduction and then we do a conclusion at the end. This is Jesus' conclusion to his sermon. And in this part, these next, 14 verses, Jesus goes over four. I had too much coffee. You can blame some other people in the church for that. Okay. Jesus goes over four cautions for us. Finally got it spit out. All right, four cautions for us at the end of this chapter 7. He taught us all these things in chapters 5, 6, and 7 up to this point. And now he's saying, in Pastor Jamie's version of the Bible, hey, little disciples of mine, little disciples, please be aware. There's four things I want to tell you to be aware about and use caution in your life about. So today, that's what we're going to dig into. Finishing up chapter 7, 13 through 27. That should be the right scriptures. We're going to learn these cautionary tales that Jesus speaks of at the end of this chapter. And as he wraps up his sermon before everybody goes home. Let's read it together, shall we? What are these four cautions? I'm intrigued. Well, hang out with me. We're going to go over them. All right. 13 through 27. is what we're going to read aloud right now. Jesus says this in summary: enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. That's caution number two. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. And a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. You follow that? Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. The words of Jesus concluding a sermon here. And there are four cautions that we need to, and warnings, they're warnings, cautionary tales, things that we need to, as disciples of Jesus and people of the kingdom of heaven, make note of and live our lives by as we're around other people and our own selves. Okay? The first one, you'll find it in the first part of that passage. It's verses 13 and 14. This is essentially caution to us. Our first warning is caution as to what road we decide to travel on. Jesus here describes in these just two little quick verses, he describes two different gates and two different roads. And I have preached on this before, but I'm going to remind you of what he's talking about here. He says that one gate is described as a small and not very popular gate. The small gate needs to be sought out deliberately to be found. You have to really look for it. And behind that small gate is a narrow road. This narrow road that you enter through this small gate goes against the grain of what the world is. The narrow road is countercultural. The narrow road and the narrow path is not the most popular road and path to be on. But Jesus says this is the path that we should choose to be on, doesn't he? As disciples, as his kingdom of heaven people. And we're on that road when we're listening to Jesus, we're putting his lessons that he taught us into practice. And the end of this road is beautiful. Did you catch that? It's life. It's beautiful, the end of this road. Life is given when you follow this narrow, unpopulated road. And I'm not talking about life as either being alive or being dead. I'm talking about life on every level here. Mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and even eternally is what I'm talking about here. That's found through Jesus on that narrow road. The wide gate is the other gate that Jesus talks about. This is the one that we need to throw caution to. The wide gate, Jesus warns, is the incorrect gate that leads to a very wide and broad path. The wide gate and the wide path is what he is telling us to avoid. He's saying, watch out, little disciples. Don't Go for it. Don't take the bait. Don't go down that nice, easy, broad, well-lit, well-populated road. This is the incorrect gate to enter onto the incorrect road. This is the popular road, the populated road, the road that's easy to find. Many people find this road, Jesus says. Many people find it. It's easily accessible. And it's full of all the world's stuff. Things, temptations, whatever the world wants, man, it's there. And it looks beautiful. But where does that wide, broad road lead? The wide gate with the broad road. Where does it lead to, Jesus says? Destruction. Is my version. Your version may say something else. Death. This road, Jesus is warning us not to take because it doesn't lead to life in him. It leads to destruction. And destruction is utter ruin and death. Yippee. The narrow road sounds really good. Jesus is warning us as his disciples to not take this road, but to take the narrow road that you find through the narrow gate that you got to look hard to find. He's warning us, church, to make sure we pick the right gate and the right road. And pick the road carefully, cautiously, that leads to life. His second warning is in 15 through 20. Of this chapter 7. He's saying to watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious. They are ferocious wolves, he says. By their fruit you will recognize them. His second warning and caution is to beware of pretenders, false leaders, people who are telling us opposite of Jesus and trying to lead us down the wrong path. A false prophet is someone who claims to have divine inspiration and ability to speak for God, but does so for selfish reasons and deceptive reasons. They are deceivers. Jesus tells us here to be able to differentiate between false and true prophets that we need to look at their actions, right? The actions, the fruit, not words or not appearances, and that we need to use discernment to decide if we should follow someone and their teachings as they lead us. False prophets look like sheep, nice and cute and innocent and fuzzy. Don't you want to just snuggle them? But he says they're not that. They're ferocious wolves. Instead of bringing people to Jesus, false teachers lead people away from Jesus for whatever their own benefit might be. The list could be long for that. I would guess, that these people, these false prophets, are right by that wide gate in the wide road saying, hey, come on over here. Pick this one. That's what the false prophets are doing. Hey, come down this one. Sending us down the wrong road. Jesus cautions us and tells us, before we go following people, we have to look at their fruit to know who they are. We can't just look on the outside of someone and say, oh, they fit the bill. They look right. Because it's often the outside appearances are shallowed and often masked, covered up. We're attempting to deceive us. And we need to look deep at what's inside the individual. We need to look at what they produce around them. Take their relationships, for example, in the world, right? Do they have loving, kind, joyful relationships? Or do they have relationships that are full of drama, hurt, pain, anguish? What do they produce? People that lead us, what do they produce out in the world? That's their fruit. And it's either of God or not of God. And Jesus is saying, look at that. There's your evidence right there. If people are producing things like fear, arrogancy, jealousy, self-indulgence, or contempt for others, those aren't people that we want to lead us and talk to us and tell us about who God is, right? Right. I want to be clear that this isn't about judging people, okay? Because Jesus said, was it last week, not to judge others, I think? We talked about that. But what this is about is us distinguishing who has the heart of God in order to lead and speak about him and teach us about him. It's about performing our own spiritual due diligence to not be led astray by those who want to hurt us spiritually. We know true leaders of Jesus when their life proves it by the fruit they produce out in the world and what you see in their actions. True leaders of Christ. Jesus says, I think twice in that passage, you will see it by their fruit. You will recognize them by their fruit. Don't fall prey, church. We won't fall prey, right? To false prophets and false teachers. And Jesus is saying, look, it's going to happen. Here's my second caution to you guys as I'm getting ready to wrap up my sermon. Be prepared. It's going to happen. They're going to be out there, but be on guard, church. And truly watch and let the Holy Spirit guide you in discernment of those who are meant to help you in the spirit and those who are meant to hurt you in spirit. Because those who want to hurt you in spirit are going to devour you. They may look good, but they are ferocious wolves. So, disciples today here, we're going to watch out for that, aren't we? Look for the actions. Look for the fruit of those actions. The third warning is in verse 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons and perform many miracles? And I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me. The third warning that Jesus states here is for us to be cautious of those who claim to be a part of the kingdom of heaven, but unfortunately aren't. Jesus' emphasis in this warning is that it's critical for our spiritual health and eternal well-being to practice an authentic faith and obedience to God. It is not about performing all the stuff and doing all the things. This warning is a little bit different. As I was studying, I was like, how is this different from the last one? Well, this is a little bit different in the fact that the last one was about leaders and making sure we're following leaders and that their actions are in line. This, Jesus takes a little bit step further and says, look, their actions, disciples, other disciples in the kingdom of heaven, their actions may look like it on the outside, but what's their motive in their heart? And this is for all disciples. He is warning us and saying, look, true disciples don't just act correctly. They have hearts that are motivated by him. He's not looking for ritualistic displays of faith, like he says in here, prophecy, casting out demons, other powerful acts, right? As the scripture says here. He's not looking for that. What he's looking for is genuine hearts that are transformed and a life that you live in obedience to him. Just because the fruit looks good as disciples, other disciples, as we have a family of people here, just because the fruit looks good doesn't mean that the heart is right. Does that make sense? The warning here, too, is sad for me. I think this is the saddest scripture in the Bible. Because Jesus is going to say one day, hey, these people think that they're disciples of mine, but their hearts aren't right. And I'm going to say the words, I didn't know you. Isn't that sad? People who thought they were doing things for the right reasons and earning their way into heaven. And the whole time Jesus is like, I didn't know you because your heart wasn't with me. And Jesus, the motives of the heart, this is not the first time we're hearing about the motives of the heart, is it? Remember, I did preach a few weeks ago on righteous acts, the act of praying, giving, and fasting. And we talked a lot that Sunday about our hearts being right when we do those things. He said it multiple times. So it's probably super, super important that we really hone in and listen to this. Our hearts have to be right. It's not about what we do as disciples. It's about our heart being right. Because if we don't have our hearts right, then Jesus doesn't know us. And that's sad. And it's not that Jesus is breaking off his relationship with us. He's not breaking off the relationship. It's that the relationship was never there. He never knew whoever. And he wants to know us. He wants to know our hearts. He wants to have our hearts. And he wants our lives to be motivated by him. He wants an intimate relationship with you, each and every one of you in this room. So, church, let's not be an outwardly religious group of people, okay? Those aren't real disciples of Jesus. Real disciples are motivated by this, Jesus being in here. And that's why our prayer for this church all the time is that we are just on fire for Jesus in our hearts and our actions just overflow into that. True disciples of Jesus with hearts set upon his will and what he wants done. And Jesus is going to say, yeah, I know those Cornerstonians. I knew them. I know those peeps. The last part, the last warning, if you will, the fourth warning. Why is that hard to say that today? Fourth warning is what he uses to wrap everything up. And in general, in summary, and I say this a million times too, this must be that we act upon what we've learned. Jesus says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The storm comes and it stands strong, right? Because it's on the rock. The foolish man, we know, built his house on the sand. The storm comes and it's flattened with a great crash. Whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is wise. And Jesus is saying, hey, little disciples, listen up. This is the last thing I want to tell you before I go sleep because I'm tired. He's saying, we must act upon what we know and what his teachings are. His caution for us in this is to be wise, not foolish, with the information and the knowledge that we have right now. He just got done preaching a whole new way of living. And he's saying, look, you have to put it into action. I've done a sermon. I did a sermon recently. I looked it up a few months ago on this particular scripture, and I even sang a song at the end, but I'm not going to do that for you today. But when I read this scripture now with this, and this is what's so awesome about the Bible, don't ever say, oh, I've read that before. Read it again, because it's going to give you a different perspective. Now that I read this scripture, after we've done everything and you put it all together with the Sermon on the Mount, man, it has a great impact to me. It's different now. Jesus has been teaching and preaching for a little while. And his last parting words are, if you hear what I've taught, then go do. Put this into action. If you do that, you're wise. The parable here is very simple, right? The house is us. The house is the people in the audience that day. Those of us that have heard his instruction, we're the house. The rock represents his teachings, the solid stuff. Trustworthy, true, faithful, unwavering. The sand represents anything opposite of Jesus' teaching. Let's say the world's teaching. That'd probably be an accurate description. Faulty, false, which might be the same thing. I don't know, but I have it written here. Unsteady, undependable, and worrisome. That's the sand. Jesus is saying, look, if you hear what I'm saying here, go build your life on me, on these things, and act on these things. You'll be wise, and you'll have a solid foundation. It's not enough to believe. We must act in a certain way. And we talk about this But I'm going to tell you something that really irks me in the world today. What irks me in the world, in this exhausting world that we live in, is people who claim to be disciples, and then they go out and they live and behave in completely the opposite manner. That irks me. It's frustrating to see, and it's very concerning to see in our world today. Church, now more than ever, this world needs us to act like Christians. Not say that we're going to church. Not do all the things or say all the things that we're going to do, but do them with the right heart and the right motive. Our world needs to see what Christianity is. The world needs to see how we're supposed to act. The world needs to see how we're supposed to act properly as a Christian, is how I'm going to say that. The world needs to see that we take these words of Jesus and we put them into practice in our daily life. What are those things that we're supposed to do, you ask? Oh, what a great segue to a little recap now of the things that we've learned over the last 9 weeks. These are the things that Jesus tells us to act like. And what he taught us. He taught us that God's kingdom and the worldly kingdom are total opposites. He told us to be the light of the world. He told us to live by the law of love. He taught us to keep our anger in check, to settle matters quickly without arguments, or when we're in disagreement with others, take care of our own business and take care of settling matters. He said and taught us not to be jealous of other people and their things. He taught us to stand up for those who are marginalized and forgotten about in society. He taught us to fight for a just and equal world to live. He told us that, hey, you should probably keep your word. What you say is what you say. He told us not to take revenge out on others when we're wronged. You remember that one? He told us to love our enemies and pray for them. He taught us to love our enemies and pray for them. He taught us that when we serve God, we need to do it with the proper heart and the motives, and that's of him being at the center of it all. He taught us to have a proper relationship with money and all the earthly things here that are going to that could get in our way of our relationship with him. Not too long ago, he taught us not to worry about things of this world and not to be anxious about material things, that he's going to provide for everything that we need. Jesus told us to seek God's kingdom first. Jesus told us not to judge others. Jesus told us not to judge others. There's a couple here I wanted to put a little emphasis on. And he taught us to seek him, look for him. Always looking for him and his will in the midst of it all. These are the things that Jesus calls us to act on that we've gone over for the last 9 weeks. And I'm sorry to say, but this isn't a list of just choose your top three favorite ones. No, little dipples. No. He wants us to do all these things. Are you kidding me, Pastor Jamie? I got to do all of them? Yes. Yes. The world needs us to do all of these things and to show them what being a follower of Jesus is. Are we going to get it right and be perfect every time and every day and every moment? Are we going to? A big resounding no, right? Of course we're not. But Jesus isn't looking for perfection. He's just counting on us to do what we can every single day, to give it our all, to have him at the center of it all, to give it our best attempt in life, and to keep growing in our discipleship. Just because you know this stuff now and you're going to work on these things doesn't mean your discipleship training is over. It's only just begun. Oh my, I had a flashback of my Southern Baptist roots with discipleship training for any of you. Jesus is counting on us to give it our best shot. The last verse of this chapter, I didn't read it earlier, but I'm going to read it now. I don't know what one is it, 28. Chapter 7, the last verse. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. The crowds were amazed when they heard all this. He didn't teach like the other leaders, the other Pharisees, and he stood in his authority. He spoke with authority and said, "These are my things, disciples." And after hearing this beautiful sermon, Matthew writes, they were amazed at his teachings. After hearing this sermon over the last 9 weeks, what are you feeling this morning? What's your emotion? Are you also amazed? Remember, it was the first time they're hearing this stuff. We've heard this stuff before, bits and pieces of it. Some of us have read it all the way through, right? Are you amazed still? Or for the first time? Or are you eager? Maybe you're feeling eagerness. Oh, yeah. Maybe you're feeling unworthiness. Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed, because I just told you you have to do all the things on the list and not just a couple. Oh, no. Please don't feel overwhelmed. Maybe you're feeling prepared. Okay, yeah, I can do this. I'm going to be better. And motivated. Maybe you're feeling motivated. Whatever you're feeling right now after hearing all these things about what Jesus tells us to do and how to be a disciple and what really being a disciple of Jesus is. If you say you're a disciple of Jesus, there it is. It's all these things and acting like these things, right? Whatever it is you're feeling, I hope God works on that for you. And you talk to him about it. And you put it to work in your growth. Work on your relationship with God to grow closer to him. And then work on it out in your community, whatever your community is. You've just heard the lessons from our Savior, the words from Jesus' mouth himself. And the last thing he tells his audience to do, the last thing he says is, go and do it, right? Go do it and be wise. You've heard what I had to say, now go. And church, I'm going to just say the same thing in summary this morning. Church, I'm going to reiterate the beautiful words of Jesus. Little disciples, just go. Just go out in the world and do it. Just go.